Good morning. Come just as you are. I love that little saying. You may have heard it. You probably heard me say it. The Lord loves you just the way you are, but He loves you too much to leave you the way you are. And aren't we thankful for that? He invites us to come. He knows what we are, how we are, who we are, why we are, where we are. And He wants us to come to Him, but as we come, we need to come knowing that He's going to be working on us. He's going to be changing us, and how thankful we are for that. It's very good to be with you this morning. Was here two Sundays ago, but in the meantime, we've been involved in several areas of ministry, as well as a week of vacation, and it's good to be back with you. We're talking about one another. Oh man, we got mixed up here. Nope. Okay, hang on just a second. I apologize here. Switching between shows. We got switched here. So we're going to get back on the right one. Here we go. All right, very good. And you know when somebody goes on vacations, they could come back and show pictures of their vacation, right? Well, this wasn't actually the vacation part, but we were all together up at Mountaintop Youth Camp. This is at the end of the Excel week, and all our family was involved in that week serving in some way. So I wanted to show that picture not so much to tell you about my family, but kind of a segue into our discussion this morning. But I will mention, if you're interested in our what we've been doing, you can go to my wife's Facebook page, and she's got a nice, a lot of pictures there, and you can kind of follow through if you're interested. But anyway, I want to use this just because we're talking this morning, we're continuing what we started 2 weeks ago, this idea of loving one another as family. And as we think about our earthly families, and I know we have different experiences, the family in which we grew up, maybe that was our family of birth. Maybe we were adopted into that family. Some of us have had wonderful experiences with parents, with siblings, with children, grandchildren, extended family. Some have had not such good experiences. And I don't know a lot of you I do know kind of your experience, but not everybody. But the idea of family is something that we gravitate to as human beings, and it's interesting that God uses this idea of family to as one of the illustrations of His people. So we're going to look again at Romans chapter 12 and verse 10, and I'll ask you to turn there. Romans chapter 12, as Paul gets into the real practical part of his application to the church in Rome almost 2,000 years ago, but with timeless information, timeless challenges, and just really practical for us today. He's gone through 11 chapters, if we were studying the book of Romans, which we did several years ago, but we know that the first 11 chapters are very much doctrinal in nature, and beginning with chapter 12 through 16, he applies that doctrine, that teaching, into our lives, both as individuals and as a local church. So we're going to start out here in Romans 12, and we're going to begin our reading at verse 9, with our focus, as you see on the screen, being verse 10. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. And we're looking particularly at the first part of verse 10. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. Just wanted to, we looked at this 2 weeks ago, and we're not going to go back through a lot of review. But I did want to read just some different translations of this part of the verse, the first part of chapter 12 and verse 10 in Romans, just to give you that thought of what is being emphasized here and what we're emphasizing. Here's one translation. Be devoted to one another with authentic brotherly affection as members of one family. Another translation. Love one another deeply as brothers and sisters. love each other like members of your family. Love each other in a way that makes you feel close, like brothers and sisters. Love each other like brothers and sisters with family, brotherly affection. Be devoted to each other like a loving family. Show family affection to one another with brotherly love. Let us have real warm affection for one another as between brothers. Going back to our verse here in the New King James as I'm reading it, a quick little Greek review. We looked at that phrase, be kindly affectionate to one another. And we saw the Greek word for kindly affectionate and found that the idea here that's being emphasized is loving affection within the family. And then he follows that up with the idea of brotherly love. Again, a Greek word which brings out the idea of love between siblings. So you put all of that together, and the idea is to love brothers and sisters in Christ as family. Because we are family. We see that all through the New Testament. You read through, and how many times do you see that word brethren? The writers of the New Testament address those to whom they're writing as brothers, siblings, not physically, not biologically, but spiritually. The relationship between believers is that of a family. And as we come down to a local church in a geographical area, a group of believers who meet together, we are a microcosm family of that big family, universal family, believers everywhere in the world at this particular time, and some who've already died and gone to heaven, and some who are yet to be born or yet to be born again. As we think about the family of God, we think about being in that family, we're reminded that we get into that family by birth. We read in the New Testament of being born again, of being born from above, of being born of God. So as we get back into this, of course, the first question for each of us to ask ourselves is, am I in the family of God? Now, I might say, sure, you know, I'm here, right? I'm at the meeting. I'm identifying with you. But the idea of being in the family of God, the reality of being the family of God, of course, is that we are born of God. We have come to that point where we realize that we are sinners, that sin has separated us from God for time and eternity, and we have recognized that the Lord Jesus is the only hope that we have of forgiveness of our sins, of a relationship with God, of a home in heaven, of purpose and meaning in this life, and we have received the Lord Jesus who died for our sins and was buried and rose again, and we have received Him as our Savior. We put our faith and trust in Him. And if we have done that, we have been saved, we've been forgiven of our sins by that simple act of faith, for by grace are you saved through faith. It's a gift. It's not something we earn. It's not something we work for. Rather, it's something we receive by believing on the Lord Jesus. And in doing so, one of the amazing things that occurs in our lives is that we are in the family of God. You know, and the family of God is kind of like a lot of families. It can be a little dysfunctional. But the best thing about the family of God is the Father and the older brother, because they're perfect. God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, as we saw last time, He's not ashamed to call us brothers. They're perfect. And any problems that we have within the family of God is not their problem in the sense that they caused it. It's our problem because we caused it. Their problem in the sense that they are willing to work with us. What we're going to do, we're going to consider some characteristics of a healthy family which provide opportunities to love one another as family. Remember, the challenge here in Romans 12:10 is to love one another as family, because we are family. So what are some of the characteristics of a healthy family which can provide opportunities for us to love one another as family here, particularly in this local assembly, but beyond this local church, for every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. So the first characteristic is that of comfort. In a healthy family, members find comfort in the loving security they sense. Now, a number of years ago, on a night, a Saturday night, and we didn't even know what was going on until the next afternoon, but we found out Sunday afternoon that someone had come into our house on Saturday night. And we were asleep in the bed. And they came in and they stole Kim's pocketbook and they stole a laptop off of the bar. And we didn't even know about it. But you know, after that, Kim's dad, he bought us a dog, a watchdog. And we had a security system installed in our house, which didn't stop the next people who came in and kicked the front door in. But it's stopped everybody since then. I guess they found out, hey, that's a real security system. And the alarm really goes off, and the law enforcement really comes. But, you know, there's something about knowing that you're secure as you can be. Obviously, we're never perfectly secure physically. We can be secure in Christ. But what about that comfort that we desire to find in having a sense of security? You know, I would suggest that truly loving one another as family provides a safe place for the family members. And so as we think about ourselves as a local church, we recognize that as a family, we have to ask ourselves a question. Do we feel secure? Do we feel safe as a part of this family? And then maybe more importantly, in an unselfish perspective, do others in this family have a sense of security, a sense of safety? Romans chapter 13 and verse 10 says, love does no harm to a neighbor. So if love does no harm to a neighbor, what does love do for a family member? If love isn't going to harm a neighbor, then true love and true family love is surely not going to do harm to a family member. In other words, we should be able to, for one thing, come together and meet together with a sense of security. Not that no one will burst in with a gun, though we're going to try to stop that for sure, but that we could come together and find safety in the people who are here. That we can come in and know that I'm loved by these people. They care about me. And you know, they might not even agree with me on certain things, but they still love me. Why? Because I'm a part of their family. And we may disagree with our family members. We may be aggravated with our family members. We may even be estranged from some of our biological family members, and yet we can still love them. We can still seek to express to them a comfort that comes from security. We live, obviously, I don't have to tell you this, we live in a harsh and cruel world. I'm not surprising you by that. I'm just repeating what you know to be true from watching the news and just from living life. We live in a very difficult world. And as those who follow the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, if you have received Him as your Savior and are seeking to follow Him, you know what it is to find that battle going on between you and your own humanness, between you and the culture in which we live, and between you and that one who hates us because he hates our Father. The devil is against us and all of his fallen angels. And so as we live in that kind of world and we come together to meet together, we desire to have a sense of safety, a sense of security. And not only when we're meeting together, but just knowing that there are brothers and sisters in Christ who love me and who have my back, and I can trust them, and they're going to do what's best for me, and they care for me, and they're not going to stab me in the back. That gives a sense of comfort. knowing that there's a love that is unconditional. That's the kind of love that a family should have. A healthy family loves one another no matter what. And even if everybody else turns against you, you normally would think, well, my family still loves me. My family, I'm secure there. I can find comfort. I mean, that's the goal. That's not what always occurs, obviously, but that's our goal as human families and also as a spiritual family, that we can find a respite in each other, that we can call one another on the phone and find somebody there who, hey, they're going to tell us like it is, but they're also going to tell us like it is in love. They're going to speak the truth in love. And there's security in that. There's a respite in that. I can find enough comfort with my earthly family to lay down and go to sleep. And I don't have to worry that my wife is going to stab me during the night.
Do I?
No, I don't have to worry about that. I have security, right? I find safety. I can go to sleep. I can relax in my home. And a lot of times you come home from work and you just want to get home with your family so you can relax. And even if you got 3, 4, 6 kids running around, still there's you can let your hair down if you have any hair. Any of you been having it up. But you can be yourself and you can find security. Is comfort from a sense of security experienced by your family members here in this local assembly and by you? You know, I wonder, are there things that we could do to help you have a greater sense of security in the love of this local assembly? Are there things that you could do to help others in the assembly know that you truly love them, that you want them to find the comfort that comes from security? You see, loving one another as family means providing an atmosphere of secure safety for family members, not just physical safety. That's not so much an issue in our culture right now. But an emotional safety is very important to people today. They're looking for that. And we come together, we want one another to be able to say, I know I'm loved here. I can find comfort in the security and the safety that is expressed because I know that these people love me as family. That's our desire. And that's how God loves us, isn't it? God loves us no matter what. He knows everything we do. He's our Abba, our Daddy, and He knows everything we do, and He loves us just the way we are. But as we said, He's not going to leave us the way we are, and we want to challenge each other here. But we want the security, the growth that comes from security. Here's another characteristic I'd like to suggest of a healthy family, and it's again an area in which we can display our family love for each other. The area of care. You know, I think about the Pittsburgh Christian Village, just about an hour from here. Our local church, we support that. We have board members here in our fellowship from the board, who are members of the board there at Pittsburgh. And at Pittsburgh, they have several different areas where you can live. You can live independently in a house. You can live independently in an apartment, or you can be in what is called the care home. And I think about that care home, and you know, I think, do they not care for the people that live in the houses? Do they not care about the people in the apartments? Of course they do. That's not why they call it the care home. And we know that. They care about everybody who was there. You see, members of a healthy family care for one another in times of need. Yes, we care for one another all the time. It's not saying that we only care for you if you're going through a difficult time. But that's the point of the care home at Pittsburgh Christian Village, is when you get in the need of real care beyond what you can give for yourself or what we can give you just by functioning in normal ways, then we provide you with additional care. And you see, in a healthy family, family members lovingly care for each other, especially when they're vulnerable. Especially when they're vulnerable. All the time we care for one another, but especially when they're vulnerable. I think about the vulnerable ones in the church family. Or those who were young in the faith and they haven't been saved that long, or they haven't grown deeply as a follower of the Lord Jesus, and they're more susceptible to the attacks of the world and the flesh and the devil. They need special care. They're like babies and toddlers. We don't just leave them to themselves in our homes physically, do we? No, we take extra care. The little ones get extra attention. Same is true for those who are sick. When someone's sick in our house, we don't say, "Hey, you got to do everything you did yesterday." No, we say, "Hey, we're going to give you some special care today." And we have ones who are going through spiritual sickness and emotional sickness as well as physical sickness. And for all of those, we should make sure that we are showing our love through care. And then there are those who were older, those who were elderly, or those who were not able to care for themselves like they once were. Once they were the ones who were showing the care to others. Maybe even to us when we were little kids. Those who took care of me in the nursery here when I was a little baby. Now they need extra attention and care. And that's a way that we can show our love. What about those with special needs? We recognize them as particularly vulnerable, even in our society. We do that. And in our homes and in our local assembly, sometimes there are those with special needs. They're going through unusual struggles. They've come into something in their life they've never experienced before, and they don't know how to deal with it, and it is overwhelming them, and we can show our care for them, our love for them. There are some who have been through traumatic experiences in life, and it may have been many years ago, but it scarred them. And we may not understand because we've never gone through that, but we can still express the love of a family by caring. There are those who are going through special needs of financial problems or material issues, and we can reach out. 1 John 3:17. John says, "Whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him?" And I think that can go beyond just the material needs, but again, the emotional and the spiritual and the relational needs. We need to reach out. All of us need care, but sometimes we are needier than at other times. Well, how can we express care? How can we express family love to those who are particularly vulnerable at a particular time? Well, obviously, we want to try to serve them in their area of need. As we realize, hey, here's the problem. Here's the special need. Here's the issue in this person's life. And there needs to be a greater sensitivity. We may need to treat them more gently. You may be a tough love kind of person and say, "Hey, you know, we're going to have to deal with this right on." And that's appropriate and maybe even in most situations. But sometimes there needs to be a particular gentleness. And we see the Lord Jesus here upon the earth, we see him dealing with certain people with great care and gentleness. Because he knew their situations. They need more attention. They need more hands-on. Sometimes we have to be more involved in a life with a particular person at a particular time because we're a family, and members of a healthy family care for one another in times of need. And that means patience. And that means understanding. And that means praying for and praying with and sacrificing. I don't know what your perspective is. Do you think that this local church is a caring family? Do you think that others would view us in that way? We desire for that to be a reality. And some people probably say yes, and some people probably say no, and some people probably say, well, sometimes. But it's our heart and our desire that as we continue to love one another as family and to look for ways to do that and to be more sensitive, to pick particularly to those who are vulnerable, that that might be known. Now, sometimes people will not know that, no matter what we do. I acknowledge that. You remember the Lord Jesus was in the boat with the disciples, and he was sleeping, and the storm came up. And can you believe what they asked him when they woke him up? Lord, don't you care? Thinking, what are you saying? But, you know, sometimes we might say that. You know, of course he cares. Sometimes people might say to us, you don't care about me. When in reality we are seeking to express that care. But we want to be on the lookout for those who are vulnerable and those who are more in need of care than others. And how can you, how can I help our local church to be a more caring family environment? What can you do? What needs to change in me? The Lord Jesus loves me just the way I am, but he loves me too much to leave me the way I am. He wants to change me. He wants me to be more sensitive to those who are in need. You see, loving one another as family means caring for brothers and sisters in Christ in their vulnerability particularly, okay? Again, we always care for each other. We are to. We love each other. We're family. But when somebody is in a place of vulnerability, we should be seeking to express that care in a deeper way. Here's a third characteristic of a family. It's crisis. Every family goes through crises. I mean, that's just part of being human. It's part of living in this world. A crisis, we can define it as a time of intense difficulty, trouble, or danger. And our local church has gone through a number of those times as a church family. What came to my mind was 15 years ago, just a little less than 15 years ago, in 2002, many of you remember our brother Barry Atkins, who the Lord took home suddenly, five young children and a wife. And the Lord allowed his life to be taken. And you know, that was obviously a time of crisis for that family. They had lost their husband. They had lost their dad. And it was a time of crisis for this assembly. We had lost a young man who loved the Lord Jesus, who was a shining light. A young man who was being used by God, and a young man who was seeking to honor the Lord Jesus and to know him better and to be involved in people's lives and to reach out with the gospel and to worship the Lord and to be used in whatever way that God called him to do. And we went through a time of crisis. Boom, he was gone. And we were shocked and we were hurt and we had lost this brother. And healthy families, when they go through crisis, healthy families display resilience and an ability to lovingly work together through a time of crisis. How do we respond when we're threatened? As a church family, sometimes there are external issues. In Acts chapter 9, there was persecution of the church at Jerusalem. That local church body, that family, they were experiencing heavy persecution. Saul, who later became Paul, he was the leader of the persecution, but he wasn't the only one doing the persecuting. He was one of many. And we're looking at our own local church family, and we see cultural shifts going on in our world today. And many of those are threatening us. And in some ways, the persecution, though slowly, though sometimes almost not even noticeably, is increasing against believers. How are we going to respond to that? Sometimes we're threatened by internal issues. That's what occurred in that local church in Jerusalem in Acts chapter 16. Some of the ones in that local church and associated there, they were saying, well, in order to really follow the Lord Jesus, you've got to add the Old Testament law, and you've got to keep that law in addition to believing on the Lord Jesus and receiving Him by grace through faith. There was some serious pressure. That was a big crisis that was going on in that local church. How are they going to deal with that? In 1 Corinthians 5, we read of the church in Corinth. They were dealing with immorality among those who were professing to be believers, professing to be part of the family. How are they going to deal with that? What are we going to do in time of crisis? Here's the question. In time of crisis, do we pull together or do we pull apart? Carl Vaders, who works, does a lot of ministry regarding helping smaller churches interact in a biblical way. I just want to read you something that he wrote. He said, "Nothing will expose the health or weaknesses of a family or a church like facing adversity. No matter how much they may disagree with each other, when a healthy family faces a common enemy, they unite to defeat it and protect its members. But an unhealthy family will turn on each other. Maybe the best way to tell if a church is healthy or unhealthy is to see how they behave when faced with a trial. Healthy churches band together and get stronger. Unhealthy ones turn on each other and fall apart." If we pull apart, who is initiating that? We know that it's Satan, isn't it? He's come, the Lord Jesus said, that Satan has come to steal and to kill and destroy. He's come to divide. And so if we see ourselves being pulled apart in a time of crisis, very likely it's Satan who's doing that, at least somewhere in that picture. You see, we're to support and defend one another because we are family. And that's true also when individual families within the local church go through crisis. We should pull together. And I think we do that. And I think that many families who've been through crisis will agree with that. You see, loving one another as family means pulling together, not apart, in times of crisis. We're going to go through crises. We've been through them. We're going to go through more. What will we do? Love one another as family, Paul said. Let's look at another area. Here's another characteristic of families: chores. Okay, some of you still have young children at home, and you might have a chore list placed somewhere in your house. Maybe it's on the refrigerator, maybe on a bulletin board, maybe you have a whiteboard or a chalkboard mounted on the wall, and you write there, and you got these little things that you check off or put a star if the kid does their chore, right? A lot of us have experienced a chore list. You know, and in healthy families, all able members pull their share of the workload. Now, that share of the workload obviously is going to vary depending, as we said earlier, on the condition of the family members. Some are too young to do as much. Some are too old to do as much. Some are too weak to do as much. But you know, there's what's called an 80-20 rule in churches. And a lot of you have heard the 80-20 rule, and it's this, that in most local churches, 80% of the work is done by 20% of the people. And that's obviously not statistically true exactly for every local church. But that's just a general rule of thumb. And you contrast that with God's design for His family. You think about Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 12, which several years ago, as we thought about a mission statement for this local church, this is the verse that we based that on, where Paul writes about the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. The work of the ministry. Many local churches, and they're very fruitful. I'm not speaking against them, but I'm saying many local churches have a large staff. A large staff that does a lot of the work of the ministry. You know, the Lord Jesus designed His church, and as we see in 1 Corinthians 12, there's a body, and we've looked at that body recently. And the believers, we are all a part of the family, and so, you know, the question is, what is on your chapel family chore list? What's on your chapel family chore list? Now, there are many service opportunities. Some occur when we're meeting. during a meeting. There are things going on right now. There are people teaching Sunday school. There are people guarding the doors. There are people in the sound booth. There are people keeping the nursery. There are people doing a variety of things while the meeting is going on. There are also many service opportunities between the meetings, between the Sunday morning meetings. There are people that go out and pick up children and bring them in to the Sunday school. There are people getting ready for this meeting by joining in prayer in a prayer group. There are people providing and cleaning up after refreshments to enable us to have a time to talk together and have a little bit of juice or coffee and a cookie or something. And there are a lot of other things going on. People preparing for what they're going to be doing before and after the meetings. There are people opening the building, locking up the building, straightening up the building, doing grounds-related work, support work. And there are many opportunities, not only directly for this assembly, but through this assembly. The Christ for Kids ministry, for instance. The urban ministry that we go and seek to share the gospel. There are a lot of service opportunities. There are other ones encouraged by Shannon Hills Bible Chapel. Involvement with Child Evangelism Fellowship, with the Guilford County Jail Ministry, and I'm just mentioning a few. But, you know, our goal is how can we better coordinate a healthy distribution of labor at Shannon Hills Bible Chapel. In other words, loving one another as a family means seeking to have 100% of the family involved in serving. Our older brother, the Lord Jesus, when he was upon this earth, there was never a servant like him. There was never anyone who worked like he did. He never complained about it. He didn't do it to get glory. He carried more than his share of the workload for sure, and when it came to providing salvation for us, he was the only one who could be the servant of the Lord. He had to take 100% on himself. We see him getting down on his knees and washing the feet of his disciples, doing the work of a servant. Loving one another as family means seeking to have 100% of the family involved in serving. Loving one another as family. So here's our question as we close up, and in a couple of weeks when I speak again on a Sunday morning, we're going to try to get through the rest of these. But for now, looking at these four, what do I need to address in prayer and in practice this week in order to better love my brothers and sisters in Christ as family? I'm going to pray. But before I pray, I'm just going to take about a minute. And we're just going to silently think about this and hopefully answer this before the Lord. And maybe you've never believed on the Lord Jesus. Maybe you're not a part of the family of God. I'd encourage you to consider the claims of the Lord Jesus and his offer of salvation to you. So I'm going to need just a few moments if you'd just quietly meditate and pray, and then I'll close us in prayer and we'll be dismissed. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this family here. Father, I thank you so much for bringing me back and bringing Kim back that we could be with our family here again. Lord, what a blessing this local church is to so many. Father, not only ones who are in the family, but even beyond that, Lord, I thank you for every brother, every sister in Christ in this assembly. And I thank you, Father, for the many ways that family love is expressed through the ministries here, through the relationships here, through the meetings here, through the prayer here. Father, through the unseen acts of kindness, Lord, there are so many ways that love is being shown, and I thank you so much for that. And Lord, I think about the way that you had Paul address the believers in Thessalonica, and he said nobody needed to teach them about loving each other because you had taught them how to love each other, and you've taught us. But Lord, he went on to say, do it more and more. So Lord, we don't ever want to get complacent. We don't ever want to get in a rut. We don't want to ever get insensitive to other ways that maybe we could love each other, that maybe we could be more of a family. Lord, we know that Satan's against that. We know that our flesh is lazy and this world is trying to distract us away from the true commitment that we have one another to as your children, to you as our Father, to the Lord Jesus as our Savior and brother and Lord, and to one another as siblings in Christ. Father, we pray that we would provide a sense of security, that people could know they're safe. They don't have to worry about being gossiped about, or they don't have to worry about being betrayed as a part of this local church. Father, that they would know that if they go through a time of vulnerability, they'll be cared for. Lord, that we'll all be involved in the work of the ministry. Father, that when we go through crises, that we will look for ways we can pull together rather than letting it pull us apart. So thank you for your grace. Thank you for salvation through the Lord Jesus. Thank you for his love. Thank you that we don't have to do these things in our own power, but rather by the Holy Spirit who lives within us. Father, we thank you for him. Thank you so much for what you're doing. Bless the rest of our day. Bless my brothers and sisters. Use them for your glory. May we all continue to grow together as we love as family. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen. I love you, family. Have a great week.